Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. We're exploring the practice of musical recycling this hour and finding out just how much music history has repeated itself. We'll hear how composers have reused their own tunes and ideas and what ideas they've borrowed from others. Plus, we'll explore several instances of contrafacta, as well as hear Les Cornets Noires perform on a featured release of 17th century music from the Dubin collection. Take a quick look back in time to the green country town of Philadelphia. In 1681, King Charles II of England granted William Penn a large tract of land in the New World. The territory was named Pennsylvania, meaning Penn's Woodlands, with a capital of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The territory was meant as a safe haven for Quakers who had been persecuted in England and other oppressed religious groups. Penn, a Quaker himself, welcomed settlers from diverse religious practices to Pennsylvania, promising freedom of worship. It was a step toward the First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. Yet Penn's idea of religious tolerance didn't mean that colonists of all faiths had equal rights. Only certain segments of the population were permitted to vote or hold political office. When William Penn planned the city of Philadelphia, he envisioned a, quote, green country town with wide streets and ample room for gardens, as well as plenty of open and public space. As part of Penn's charter for Pennsylvania, he included instructions that, in developing the new settlement, care should be taken to leave 1 acre of trees for every 5 acres cleared. Besides preserving trees, Penn also planted them, importing many fruit and nut trees and other kinds of saplings from England to grow alongside the native trees in the colony. This interest in trees led to the foundation of a now famous arboretum. In 1700, a man by the name of George Pierce purchased about 189 acres of land in Philadelphia from William Penn. Pierce's twin sons, Samuel and Joshua Pierce, inherited the land in 1798 and turned it into an arboretum, stocking it with both American and more exotic trees. By 1850, the twins were nurturing one of the finest collections of trees in the country. The property was eventually purchased in 1906 by Pierre DuPont, founder of the still-thriving DuPont Chemical Company, and the arboretum came to be known as Longwood Gardens. Even today, Longwood Gardens maintains an impressive array of horticultural exhibits, including Mediterranean and flower gardens, fountains, tropical greenhouses, and even a special children's garden. In addition to his love of gardening, Pierre DuPont had a great interest in music. As a result, the Longwood facility maintains a performing arts program and hosts an ongoing series that includes on-site organ and carillon concerts. Traditionally, the English Quakers who first settled in Philadelphia didn't practice group singing or play musical instruments in their services, so the music scene in the colony had a slow start. But Philadelphia grew rapidly, quickly attracting a large and diverse population. As a result, much of the city's early music history is tied to sacred music from a variety of different religious traditions. Perhaps most influential in Philadelphia's musical life were the city's German immigrants, who began arriving around 1700. More than 20 editions of German hymn books were published in the colony, and by the mid-18th century, Philadelphia had become a leading center for music printing. Instrument makers also flourished in 18th century Philadelphia. Gustav Hesselius, a Swedish immigrant, built harpsichords in Philadelphia as early as 1742, and the piano builder John Barrent produced the colony's first fortepiano in 1775. The demand for instruments increased as prominent churches began to install large pipe organs. Music making outside the church usually took the form of private concerts in homes, but in 1757 the first known public concert in Philadelphia was performed, Directed by a Mr. John Palma, the music presented was likely a mix of works by popular European composers of the time, and perhaps some pieces composed by Palma himself. Tickets were sold at the steep price of $1, and from record ledgers we can be pretty sure that a military officer by the name of George Washington was in the audience. This has been a look back at the green country town of Philadelphia. I'm Angela Mariani. You can find more about the people, events, and music from this era online in our blog section at harmoniaearlymusic.org. The 26 letters in the English alphabet can be combined to form hundreds of thousands of words. And, like language, music has its own building blocks. Add the 12 notes in the Western musical scale together with a few subdivisions of meter and rhythm, and voila, the past few centuries have left us with more music than we can wrap our brains around. But some of these combinations of musical elements seem to turn up again and again. Here's an example. The 15th-century monophonic hit song La Marmée is one piece of music that keeps getting recycled. The Tallis scholars sang the Renaissance hit tune La Marmée. We're not exactly sure who first came up with that tune, but by the end of the 17th century, around 40 choral masses had been composed using the La Marmée melody in at least one of the voice parts. Benoit, Achigem, Josquin, Obrecht, Zenfel, Palestrina, and Tinctoris are just a few of the composers to write a Missa La Marmée. In Guillaume Dufay's Missa La Marmée, you can find this tune as the cantus firmus in the tenor voice. But don't worry if you don't hear it right away, because Dufay didn't necessarily mean it to be obvious. In most of the movements, the chanson melody is altered, ornamented, disguised, or stretched out into very long notes, and gets even more complicated in the Agnus Dei movement. Here, Dufay wrote a riddle in the tenor part, Cancer eat plenus sed redeat medius, which means the crab goes out full but returns half. For the musical riddle, the La Marmée cantus firmus tune is first presented backwards and then forwards again, but twice as quickly, imitating a crab's motion. We heard the Oxford Camerata perform the Agnus Dei movement from Dufay's Missa L'Homme Armé, which uses the anonymous chanson L'Homme Armé that we heard the Talis scholars sing earlier, one of those tunes that was recycled quite a few times. L'Homme, L'Homme, L'Homme Armé. Wait a minute. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You can become a fan of Harmonia Early Music on Facebook or follow our updates all week long on Twitter. Just search for Harmonia Early Music. The fame of the Franco-Flemish composer Jacob Arkadelt lies in his madrigals. His first book is a testament to his popularity. Initially printed in 1538, it had 58 editions by 1654. Not only that, but several of the madrigals from this collection were rearranged by other composers, recycled as an act of musical homage. One of these recyclers was Diego Ortiz, who in his Tratado de Glosas of 1553 revamped Arkadelt's madrigal O Felici Occhi Miei in his Ricercadas for viol. The consort of music performed Arkadelt's madrigal O Felici Occhi Miei. Following that, we heard Jordi Savall perform several ornamented versions of the same madrigal in Ricercadas, composed by Diego Ortiz. In opera, the same storylines have been reused over and over and over again. One example is the story of Orpheus and the underworld, which is based on the myth from Ovid's Metamorphoses. Many composers have recycled the plot with very individual musical settings. Two operatic versions of the Orpheus story were especially groundbreaking. Claudio Monteverdi's Orfeo from 1607 is credited with being one of the earliest and certainly the most influential in the early development of opera, while Christoph Gluck's setting, written over 150 years later, is a famous example of the ways in which opera style had been reformed during the intervening years. First performed in Italian in 1762, Gluck presented his Orfeo in French for Parisian audiences 12 years later. The music we're going to hear begins at the point in the story when Orpheus has just been told of his beloved Eurydice's death. First, we'll hear Monteverdi's setting in Italian, followed by Gluck's version in French.
Thank you.
Orfeo lamenting the loss of Eurydice, the same story recycled by two different composers, each on the cutting edge of opera in their own time. We heard performances by Artek, with Geoffrey Thomas singing the role of Orfeo in Monteverdi's opera, followed by Richard Croft singing Gluck's French version with Les Musiciens du Louvre. You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, publisher of Early Music America magazine, on the web at earlymusic.org. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We've gone green this week on Harmonia, playing music that has in some way or another been recycled through the ages. Contrafactum is a word that refers to the practice of recycling an old tune by setting it to new text. Here are a couple of contrafacta of chant melodies for St. Nicholas that are now about Thomas of Lancaster, who was beheaded by King Edward II in 1322.
Stop.
We heard Stephen Charlesworth of Gothic Voices performing Copiose Caritatis and Sospitati dat Egrotos, contrafacta with political texts set to the music of two sacred chants for St. Nicholas. It was also common for the church to borrow from popular secular music for its own purposes. At the beginning of the 17th century, Jesuit monks commissioned musician and Latin scholar Aquilino Coppini to come up with contrafacta of some of the most popular music of the time, Claudio Monteverdi's 4th and 5th Book of Madrigals. In one piece, Coppini recycles Monteverdi's amorous secular madrigal, Sicch'io vorrei morire, turning it into a sacred love song to Christ, O Jesu mia vita, O Jesus my life. We heard Coppini's contrafacta of a Monteverdi madrigal, O Jesu mia vita, performed by the ensemble Le Poème Harmonique. You can find hundreds of archived episodes, playlists, and podcasts at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Our featured recording is Treasures from Uppsala, and it includes performances of 17th century music from the collection of Gustav Duben, a Kapellmeister serving in the Swedish court. Duben collected music throughout his whole life, not only from nearby places, but also from afar, giving us an idea of the variety of music that might have been heard in Queen Christina's court in Sweden. We heard the Sonata for Three by the Italian composer Antonio Bertali, found in the Duben collection. Here's the Salve Mi Jesu Misericordiae for bass voice, violins, and bassoon by Swiss composer Johann Melchior Gledel. While this piece is also found in the Duben collection, it's missing the texted voice part. However, the same music, with a different text, is included as a Salve Regina motet in another of Gledel's publications. We don't know whether it was Gledel himself who reused this music with a different text, or someone else. Maybe even Duben himself was responsible for the contrafactum.
Et spes postas Thank you.
a sampling of music from the Dubin collection housed in Uppsala, Sweden. The sonata we just heard was by Kaspar Förster, and before that we heard Gledel's Salve Mi Jesu Misericordiae for bass, performed with a recycled Salve Regina text, both performed by Le Cornet Noir on the 2012 release Treasures from Uppsala. Each week, we review recordings new and old on the Harmonia Early Music podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any aspect of this program. You can leave a comment or question anytime by visiting harmoniaearlymusic.org and clicking on Contact. The writer for this edition of Harmonia is Janelle Davis. Thanks to our studio engineer, Mike Pashkash, and our staff, David Wood, John Bailey, and Anna Coogan. Additional technical support comes from KTTZ at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. Our producer is Luann Johnson, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.